your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. I have Billy Hayes, an authority on HARP, with me this evening. Welcome to our program, Billy Hayes.
Thank you, George.
Well, I'll tell you what, tell our listening audience a little bit about your background and how you got involved with HARP and so forth.
I've worked for several... Well, undisclosed companies that were part of contracting with government, and was assigned by
So you were initially in on the initial construction of HARP in Alaska?
Yeah, with Bernard Eason.
Oh, okay. You actually put in, I mean, you got a hands-on experience here, is that right?
Right. I was involved in the construction of the antennas, the transmission lines, the associated systems with HARP.
Oh, okay. Now, you're saying that there's been a recent startup in HARP, right? About a week and a half ago or so?
Yeah.
And has that affected you physically?
Oh, absolutely. I have tumors and cysts and scar tissues that were caused by RF burns from HARP itself and the associated transmitters, ionosphere heaters. These backfilled with the scar tissue backfilled with contaminants that are resident to. I'm literally speaking, my tumors, my acrinoid cysts in my brain and on my auditory nervous system. Are resident to those frequencies I worked with. So when the HARP comes up on specific pulses and frequencies of different compositions, I have seizures that are related to that frequency.
Okay. Now, you're saying is using or lower than what they used to be, and they're not into the ionosphere frequencies. Is that what you said earlier?
Just the opposite. They're higher frequencies.
How higher? I'm sorry, I got it wrong.
Right. They're higher frequencies.
Okay.
The frequencies that were used before were military and government frequencies. Now that it's been turned over to a public domain, then it has to be licensed through the FCC. And they have to utilize frequencies that are allotted by the FCC. And also of the power outputs are regulated now by the FCC. Whereas before, when this was an experiment of a sort, the technology did not have to have those compliances. Now that it's under UAF, University of Alaska Fairfax, they have to abide by the FCC rulings.
Oh, okay. So you're saying this new operator now is initiating or has initiated some recently new research and experiments. Did they have to do with anything of missile launches lately? Was that coordinated with HARP in some way?
It just so happens the scheduling of this new campaign, which they are calling the Harpoon.
The Harpoon, okay.
I think I gave it to you here on chat.
Right.
But they're called harpooning.
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 Okay.
The Kona harpoons.
My God.
it's very interesting, some of the terminologies that are coming out of this now. It's the fact that they're dealing with different frequencies, different toolings.
Okay. Now, you're... Go ahead.
They're utilizing different pulse widths with different frequencies. So they're not... they're not capable of doing exactly as the government and military was doing, but they are simulating nearby with lower power output.
Are they dealing with a lower level atmospheric also, or what?
Absolutely. The new frequencies and the higher frequencies are more coordinated to work with the lower atmosphere of metal particles, nanoparticles that are in the air that resonate to these new frequencies.
Right. Now that's why this chemtrails is interacting somewhat with HARP, because of these nanoparticles. Is that
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Also, with the new sounding rockets that are being fired off by NASA at places like Wallops, Vandenberg, Cape Canaveral, out on the Marshall Islands, all these sounding rockets, which they're putting up thousands of these things, not a couple every day. In fact, they did a test firing of two Trident missiles just off San Diego last week on the night after Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
The Trident missile puts out, it's a solid booster rocket, which does a thermite, super nano thermite burn. Biggest containment is aluminum oxides, which is one of the biggest toolings within chemtrails.
Oh, okay.
These particles are of the nature that they are capable of resonating radio frequencies or sonar frequencies. And
okay.
They can be stimulated.
So you're saying some of this, the newest technology, could be a defensive shield over the Pacific or other parts of the world to ward off or to protect us from ICBM coming in or attacks?
That's
is that right?
Yes, that's one of Bernard Eastman's pet peeves, was to work that. And he realized at that point in time that just like many scientists found out, they were being used. He didn't want anything to do with it. He laid back, and then 4 months later, he died for some reason of very acute cancer. Fred Bell.
Okay.
Fred Bell also died in this same manner.
Well, Dr. Fred Bell was a guest on this program several times, and he became a friend of mine.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
liked him
yeah.
and respected
yeah,
Dr.
He and
Fred
I were
Bell.
Good
yeah.
buddies. We rode around on motorcycles together.
Oh, really? Man, are you a Harley driver or a rider or what?
I'm a driver.
Oh, okay. So y'all were good buddies. Well, y'all had a lot to talk about over the years, didn't you?
All through Texas, down to Florida, we'd have long conversations on bike stops.
Well, I bet. That was interesting. Now, this new phase of HARP and this real startup recently in the last week and a half or so, how long a program do they anticipate that will be? Do you know it? Have any idea?
That was supposed to have been a 4-day episode, a campaign. And
okay.
Although they shut down the 10 megahertz part, which is 20 to 40 meter band. They
okay.
are still maintaining contacts with the ionosphere and lower atmosphere on
yeah.
400 megahertz and some lower VHF frequencies.
Okay.
They're also doing radar tests, what they call spiking, and utilizing some sonar.
Okay.
Sound wave regeneration to pursue other technologies, HARP technologies.
Are they disseminating iron in the Pacific area from large barges right now to create some kind of a mechanism to interact on the aqua basis, the aqua environment with harm?
Yes, there is a thing called ocean tracks going on. Say the pictorial they're trying to display, or the face they're trying to display, is this is an agricultural phenomenon of the ocean, where they're dumping iron particulates, nanoparticulates, in the ocean off from these barges all up and down through the Pacific. Well, it just so happens it's at from the area of where the new space fence is all the way to Hawaii. They're dropping this stuff out in a line that is perfectly in line. You can track these trails on maps, and you can see the changes. Number one, water temperatures. Number two, there's a change in water currents. And number three, the density is changing. The you cannot use sonar in these areas. It don't work.
But then this is to hide our submarines from the enemy, or I guess it can hide theirs also, right?
We can. It can disable a submersible sonar. It can destroy any locating
device. Oh, I see. So it's like a water shield then, sort of a, like an underwater sonar shield of some
right,
kind.
Right, it's like a harp dome upside down.
Oh, okay, harp in the ocean. Oh, I got you,
It's so, tomographic that they can with signals from above, they can actually imprint certain areas that they could never see before.
Oh,
this is called tomography.
Tomography. Okay, I got you. Well, this space fence then in the Marshalls is interacting with HARP and so forth,
absolutely.
Right?
All frequencies, all these high-powered frequencies are capable and designed to work into the HARP technology.
Oh, okay. And it can be focused anywhere in the world. Is that right? The location?
There are stations in Norway. There are stations in Australia. There's Ascension Islands, Antarctica. The Russians have set up a new station on the Arctic. In fact, for the first time in centuries, there have been earthquakes on the North Pole, starting at the North Pole.
Oh, my God.
Ground zero. Same thing in the Antarctic. They have had, never before have they had earthquakes on the Antarctic like they have the last 2 years.
The sun, has it undergone in the last few decades a quality? Is the sun's output different than it was 40, 50 years ago? We're having troubles with the sun.
Absolutely. This comes every 13 years. But they're capable of using the new so-called chemtrails or these new atmospheric particulates. They're able to use this as a reflector, as an attenuator, or as an emphasizer.
Okay.
They can actually control an umbrella over top of us by adjusting the amount of radiation coming from the sun.
Oh my gosh. Are the jet trails being changed by the atmospheric conditions? And are we experiencing changes in weather that's a result of this new startup with HARP, do you know?
Absolutely. That's what the intent was before. That's what they were training on. The question is, can this new HARP do that? That is beyond my knowledge right now, because I have not been into the realms of the new systems.
Right. I know all parts of the country, there's snow one day and heat the next, you know? It might be snowing one day, and the next day it's 70, 80 degrees. You know, we're getting some really weird
Absolutely.
Effects.
I'm sitting right in the middle of it. 2 days ago, it was 76 degrees. Last night, it was zero.
Oh, my
and
God.
And it snowed the night before.
Now,
and it was like a switch. It was like a curtain went up, and we went from 70 into the 30s, into the teens, and snow. And then the next day, it was down to zero.
Right. Right now in the North Pacific, we've got a problem that's continuing from Fukushima. There's been radiation readings there detected at Fukushima number two, well, the reactor two at the Fukushima, complex of over 650 sieverts. And we've got pollution into the North Pacific. How is that going to affect the HARP, and can HARP interact with that in the ocean? And can it maybe resolve some of this radiation problem?
One, the intents of Eastland was to try to attenuate radiation through the density of the atmosphere, through the density of the aquatic realms, by putting particulates in that would buff the spread of radiation. This is when he discovered that he was scared that he was devising a weaponry system that would be detrimental to the human life.
So it could evolve into a kill situation, maybe, in a way, huh?
Just like Tom Beard has expressed.
Right. Well, yeah, Tom has done a lot of in-depth research in these same areas. Is that right?
Actually, one of the more main fronts of this type of experimentation has been being done by John Hutchison.
John Hutchison, okay.
We call him the Death Ray Man. He lived up in Minneapolis during the same time that our friend died up there.
Right, Dr. Yeah. Fred Bell passed away up there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, in fact,
but that was
his home was only 2.5 miles from the place where Fred died.
Okay, now that I know Fred had an interview with Jesse Ventura earlier that day, I was thinking,
earlier that weekend, right.
Yeah, and I've talked to Fred Bell over the years. I've interviewed him several times, and I consider him to be a friend, you know, not a best friend or close friend. And I think you were pretty close to Fred Bell, were you not?
Oh, yes, we were type riders. We rode around on bikes together all over the United States. Here's another thing about that area that Fred Bell died in.
Okay.
Tesla's granddaughter died 4 miles from that location.
Really?
Died of instantaneous combustion.
Oh my gosh!
They found her body, her ashes, in a chair. There was no burn marks in that area, but she was nothing but a mass of ashes.
How does that happen? Do you have any idea of the basis of that or not?
That is paranormal in my books.
Sure, I've got you. Is HARP interacting with remote viewing in any way or anything like that?
Well, let's put it this way. The frequencies within HARP are able to stimulate the human frequencies. Therefore, they can interrupt our chain of thought. They can interrupt our thinking, our heart rates, all sorts of things. They can interrupt the synapses firing in your brain.
Okay.
At 2.8 hertz at the proper pulse width. Very specific pulse width. They can send you to the bathroom.
Okay. Oh, my God.
They can make your bowels
when you Oh, my God. Man, I tell you. So at the higher rates, can they make people ill then on a mass basis? Is that right?
Absolutely. They can change your moods, from anxiety to happiness to hate.
So we're talking about a mass psychological effect, type of either a weapon system or can they make people happy and gay, you think?
Well, that's what they called it for a while, was the gay.
Right.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah, the game. Yeah, but I mean, can they induce happiness into a mass population? I wonder. I guess.
Well, they used this technology in Iraq. Remember the vehicles going around with the big dishes on it?
That nobody
could explain why they were using LRAD.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Well, the
yeah.
LRADs went out before the troops went in, before the tanks went in. You
remember right,
all
right.
The people coming forth out of the hills and out of the sand. Take me. I need to be free. And they, remember,
okay.
they gave themselves up without even a fight.
Right, right.
There were people being found in vehicles where the window was rolled down, and just that portion of body that was exposed was turned to a crispy critter.
Oh, my gosh.
But this
my
was
gosh.
Seen time and time and time again.
Are we talking about mad scientists that have something out of control here?
Absolutely. Yeah. See, you know, I pulled my hair back in a ponytail, so I don't look like one of those mad scientists.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I look at you, and the first thing I think of, oh, there's one of them right there.
Right. Okay. But, I mean, like all these engineers and scientists always think they have things under control, but they don't always
Absolutely
do that.
Absolutely not. These scientists have pinpointed what they want to see. They don't want to see anything else that they're doing. I'll exemplify this. They have no idea where these signals are going. And there may be life forms out there beyond us, and these signals that these signals may be compromising their life. They're certainly evidently compromising our life form and our way of life here. It's changing the weather. It's causing earthquakes, changing people's minds, making them sick. There's retaliatory components in these chemtrails that are resonating within our bodies. So our bodies are becoming part of these chemtrails, part of these so-called Morgellons.
Right. Now, does Morgellons figure into this
absolutely.
At all?
All the components that are within these chemtrails
right.
are electronic components of semiconductors, of ruby crystals. Synthetic ruby crystals. You know, remember the first lasers were ruby?
Yeah, red, ruby, red, yeah.
That is the same components that are being put in the air to resonate with these frequencies.
I see. A friend of mine believes that he caught a Morgellons condition from chemtrail activity the day before.
Well, this is a fact. Morgellons is in everybody on this earth. And it's the fact that some people have active Morgellons. Some Morgellons that, that turn into actual growth fibers that adapt to somehow.
Right. I've seen them come up out of these open sores.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of these Morgellons have crystals at their base, ruby crystals at their base. Just a tiny, tiny, tiny chip, a nano chip.
Okay.
Component that is spiked on the flat size of a hexagon that is coated with a conductive membrane.
Okay. My God.
If you pass a cell phone over top and look through a magnifying glass, you will see the skin glow where some of these are.
Right. So they're like antennas and electrical things, and we're all being wired, it sounds like.
That's beyond my capability, but I would say
right.
so. Nobody will come up and speak about these things. But these are all frequency resonant components that are of silicon-based conicron. Says they are a silicon life form.
Right. We had a Morgellons tasting party one night at Brave New Books, a local bookstore here, and we did that test swishing around that grape juice, dark grape juice, and we all had fibers in our blood, an indication that there were fibers
right.
in there.
They're very adaptive to iron content.
Right,
well,
right.
Our
okay.
blood is something like 42% iron.
Okay.
That should give somebody an idea of that if this stuff is feeding on iron nanoparticulates, what's going on? I mean,
right. Do you, gosh, that it gets to be like a Dr. Strangelove, a horror movie, does it not?
I
Sounds
believe
like?
We're living in a nightmare.
I think so. And there's so many secret projects underway that nobody knows about, right? About the other ones, right?
Yeah, I had to mute for a second. Yeah, you're so right, so very right.
So you know, it's just a hodgepodge of secrecy that is being held back from the public. If the public knew about all this stuff, would they not march on Washington and demand it be stopped, or what?
Well, that's what's going on right now. It's the division of people. Right now we have a mass division of people. And you know what happens
right.
When you have mass division of people? You weaken
right.
The cause. And that's
okay.
What's going on around in our government, in our military, everywhere you look, within our own societies, there are splits. And what is causing all this? What in the world is causing all these divisions? Could it be HARP? Could it be these chemtrails? Could it be the Magellans?
Right.
I don't know. That, you know, when we start talking that way, we're outside my conundrum of knowledge.
Okay. So you've been on the technical side for years, and you know a lot about electromagnetic devices and instruments and dynamics. That's been your focus, right?
You have to remember, when I was into this in the beginning,
okay,
you only were given the information on the basis of the need to know. We actually did not know what we were doing. We were experts in that portion of the field we were in. But until we got into the days of having computers and internet, we were unable to communicate any of this. My biggest problem is everybody that was on my cruise, I was the second youngest man leading the cruise on the construction of ARC and all the associated components thereof. There was 250 different sites, more than 250 different sites all over the world that we went to and did construction. How those personnel that I was with, I am the last survivor.
Oh my gosh. Was the Atlantic Richfield Oil Company involved in the original Alaska?
Absolutely. That was Bernard. Bernard Easton was the CEO of Atlantic Richfield.
And Robert O. Anderson, would that be a familiar name also?
Mr. Payne and the ass money. I'm sorry.
Right.
Now
these people, we're talking about some kind of a institutionalized control system here, are we not? That's worldwide, international.
Absolutely. We're talking
and
about spirals in the sky over Norway. We're talking about spirals over the sky in Russia. We're talking about. Remember 2 years ago, the spiral over San Diego?
Okay.
I mean, these are all implements of holographic components that are derived by the airborne technology of chemtrails or atmospheric particulates that are resonating with frequencies like HARP.
You seem to note that the Berkeley effect... they're able to affect those kinds of dynamics.
The sequence of putting all this stuff in the air has layered a capacitive battery in our atmosphere into space now. These firings of these rockets at the poker plant, upset Aquilagina Island and Norway, C-REX campaign.
Okay.
Are all part of this, putting these particulates into the upper atmosphere, into space. Now understand this, putting these particulates into space will eventually come down to the fact that we may have the same type of rings that will be around Saturn that are multiple frequency conductors.
So
it would be like a big disc antenna around the equator of the world as the centrifugal force brings all this garbage they get put up there into the gravity pool of the Earth with the centrifugal force, it will make rings around the Earth.
You're talking about electrojets and everything, all kinds of geophysics.
Absolutely.
Here, right?
All this would be resonating and charging the upper atmosphere into space for the Berkeley field effects, for the strides, for the blue jets, for the cones. Okay,
oh, my God.
The last 5 years, the sequence of seeing strides has multiplied by 10,000. By 10,000. Never before have we seen blue jets until recently, the last 5 years. People don't recognize that. Never have we understood how the Berkeley effect, flux field effects actually work. Now we do. How we know that? Because now we have instrumentation and experimentation that proves that there are vortexes up there of electrons and particulates that are going around, and vortexes that are opposite of each other that charge each other, that develop magnitudes of power in the space. And these discharges result in these other things, these sprites, the lightning below the sprites, and above the sprites, blue jets.
So we're getting these super storms out of all of this synergy, are we not? And earthquakes and things
absolutely
like that?
These discharges are from space, the energy of outer space into the Earth's crust, which creates a shock. Each one of these that fire actually is like lightning hitting the ground, only it's a continuous wave. You understand? It's not just lightning.
Right.
You see, there are things when it's a very powerful strike, this lightning initiates the sprites. And then the sprites, if the sprites are strong enough, they initiate the jets, blue jets above it. And then the blue jets will initiate the Berkeley field effect above. So you're talking about this massive wavelength of thousands of miles out. They come back into the Earth to resonate the crystal components within the Earth's mantle. Of course, and that creates a vibration that is caused by what is called a piezoidal effect. This piezoidal effect is a vibration that entails the Schumann resonance.
Okay.
So we're there.
Dr. Fred Bell, yeah, go ahead.
This Schumann resonance is the pulse of the Earth. Everything on this Earth has a specific resonance. And that's what the Schumann resonance is. It's from 2 hertz up to 20 hertz of very specific pulses.
Okay. Dr. Fred Bell, before he passed away, said that these electrojet interaction could have set off the Fukushima earthquake because of the resonance of that particular cavity. Is that possible, or is that a possibility?
Absolutely. That's what Bernard Eastland was working with, was these vibrations are capable of not only making tomographic portions of the Earth, but able to vibrate certain cavities.
Okay. And then that could set off a major earthquake.
Absolutely.
Then, right?
If you take a speaker out into the desert, a large speaker out into the desert, and play specific sounds to the sand dunes, you will see the sand dunes start sliding to you. This is the same thing all over the Earth. There's a resonant frequencies of things that can initiate other things. It's going to happen. These things are natural forces that are going to happen by themselves. But if you have the proper frequency, you can make it happen. We want it to happen.
Right. Okay, well, Billy Hayes, we're coming to the end of the program, and I don't want to take any more of your time. I know you're still not in excellent shape there. But thank you very much for being with us this evening, Billy.
I've still got oxygen in the bottle, and the nurse hasn't got me yet. Of course,
okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we close down the program?
Yeah.
Is there anything on your mind? Tell us what's on your mind.
What's on my mind is the thought that people need to educate themselves. They don't need to walk around being fearful of what's going on. They need to understand what is capable around them. Somebody out there has got more intelligence than these bad scientists. Some people, group of people, will be able to put a think tank together to eliminate some of the process, some of the unknown thoughts, the experimentation, the new technology knowledge of what's going on, and be able to change it. Going out and trying to do foolish things like, raising your hand to strike down this is not going to get you nowhere. That's a division of society. That's not needed. We don't need any more division. We need people to get up there and think of how to remedy some of these problems that the scientists have overlooked.
Right. Come together and become unified about what's going on. In other words, we need to raise the public's awareness level to a greater level of insight, enlightenment, right? And understanding.
And gain more knowledge of what's going on so there are people who can contemplate how to op a different way to operate these things or block some of these, what you call the side effects.
Right, to block those side effects. Well, we need solution-oriented people versus problem makers,
absolutely,
right?
You said it better than anybody else I've ever heard.
Well, anyway, so anything else to add, Billy?
Peace be with you, brother.
Okay, you too, and thank you very much for all your hard work and dedication.
Thank you.
Okay? And good health to you. Bye-bye. Good night. Welcome to this program. We've got Tony Gosling coming in hot from Bristol, England. Welcome, Tony Gosling.
Hi there, George, again.
Boy, how are you? And, boy, there's a lot going on out here. You were mentioning earlier something about the Ukraine. What's happening over there? Any assassinations or what?
Well, there has been now several particularly nasty assassinations. I mean, what's happening is because the Minsk Agreement has been actually pretty successful in drawing borders, there has been pretty much a successful ceasefire for a long time in Ukraine. Only over the last month or so, there have been several assassinations of military commanders in the Donbass, that's Novorossiya, some people call it, which is this area of southeastern Ukraine, which is staunchly pro-Russian. I mean, it's worth looking at what caused this whole kind of uprising in the first place. Yes, there was a lot of money going in from George Soros to encourage people and through civil society groups, and there was a lot of activity of the far right with Andriy Poruby, and he was running the Maidan protests, and many now say that, including a former prime minister of Ukraine, that Poruby and the far right were actually using special forces to do the sniping, which actually happened, you know, caused the coup. That's another bit of news which has come out recently, which has not been covered at all here in the West. I think it is Sputnik, you'll find that particular article. But, you know, when a former head of state is saying that there was a coup, there were snipers brought in by the far right into our capital that were killing civilians, then you would think that the West would be interested in news like that, but they weren't. No coverage at all, effectively, and he was, you know, the former prime minister of Ukraine. So the other side of the fence, that is to say, in the Donbass region,
right,
which is really its own country now. It's got its own, you know, whole administration where they have military commanders there. They have a whole military system set up. And there's two or three of those of just over the last couple of weeks have been just either blown up in car bombs, assassinated in the street, etc. So there's quite obviously an infiltration of that part of the Ukraine going on by special forces from Kiev of some kind, or possibly another NATO country, and a dirty war. So the Minsk Agreement, they're trying to tear it up from Kiev.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, that area, and how does Turkey figure into this situation right now? What is their stance? And have you heard anything about Turkey and Erdogan?
Yes, I do, George. I was on the telly in Turkey a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in touch with the Turkish TV channel.
Right.
Which is, the program is called Yazboz. It's Ahaber, A-H-A-B-E-R. And it's well worth watching because Sybil Edmonds is appearing on the same show as me there, actually.
Okay,
talking
good.
About the Operation Gladio. And, of course, the Turks, many of the Turks have known this for a long time, but what the big change is one of the major TV networks starts to talk about the use of these stay behind special forces far right groups, which are effectively little cells, to foment terror and then to blame it on whoever it is you want to blame it on. So these basically people who just disappear into the night. Sometimes they use patsies as well. But this is, the old NATO strategy of tension. And I think this is dawning on the Turks more and more now that much of the terrorism that's been going on there hasn't been Islamic terrorism. It's actually been fomented via NATO. And this is bringing about a kind of, I think, a new sense of independence in Turkey, where they are saying, well, look, actually, no, we are not going to be anti-Russian. We're not going to be anti-NATO. We're going to be here in the middle. We're going to be us. We're going to be an independent country, and no one's going to stop us, which has actually been the role of Turkey for many, many years. Centuries, actually. They have been, when it was the Ottoman Empire and since, have been a quite powerful independent force in between Asia and Europe, and in order to really stop this relentless, it seems, attempt over the centuries from Europe. I would say you're talking about the real rulers of Europe from behind the scenes, the secret societies, the Masons, etc., who are absolutely obsessed with trying to take over Russia, because Russia is not under their control. They're control freaks, I think, George.
Right. Now, you've mentioned, and on your program this yesterday, you covered SITE. Tell us about SITE, all caps. And don't they put out a lot of propaganda about terrorism and stuff in the Middle East?
They certainly do. And Rita Katz is this lovely lady who lies through her teeth. She has connections back to Tel Aviv and to the Mossad, and she's based in Bethesda, Maryland. She charges news organizations £25,000 a year to subscribe to our service. Lowly people like you and I, George, can only read the first paragraph or so, or maybe even less than that, of each article she produces. But these articles purport to come from various sources she's got, which are pinching emails, stealing information via the internet directly from ISIS. Now, if you go to ISIS themselves, they deny any kind of connection. But the reason we're talking about SITE on our show is because 2 days last week, that's Tuesday and Thursday, the main news on all the bulletins was this guy from Manchester, Ronald Fidler, is his name. He's now taken on some kind of Islamic name, we're supposed to believe, who was sent to Guantanamo Bay, was there for a while. He went through what's called the Beatles system. And I don't know if you've heard about that at Guantanamo Bay, one of the Beatles crew, they call them.
Okay.
Where what they do is, once people have been at Guantanamo for a while, then they put them in these quite comfy quarters, slightly separate from the torture areas. And they separate them out into two different types of prisoners. One is what they call the Penny Lane prisoners, and the other is the Strawberry Fields prisoners. So the Strawberry Fields prisoners are the ones, as you might guess, who are going to be there forever, yeah?
Because oh, my gosh.
Forever, yeah?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then Penny Lane leads out into the outside world. So what they're basically doing is profiling and processing these individuals, most of whom have been illegally kidnapped, whatever, and brought to Guantanamo Bay. Well, none of them really went through due legal process. It was basically like organized crime kidnapping these people. And what happens is they attempts made to persuade people to sort of toe the line, basically. If you do as we say, if you play along with us and we have a few games with you, etc., then you can be released into the outside world. And it's surprising the number of people who are in key positions in groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, Al-Shabaab, etc., Al-Nusra, have been through the Beatles crew system.
Oh, you know, my gosh. Yeah.
And yeah. Been locked down Penny Lane. I mean, oh, it's amazing, man, that they use these kinds of terms. But anyway, the reason I mention this is because this has made the bulletins all over Britain. All the newspapers, TV, radio, for pretty much two solid days last week. And the evidence that they're basing it on, well, it's all based on Rita Katz. It's all based on the site intelligence group in Bethesda, Maryland, around the corner from the NRA, I think it is, or at least it's one of those big intelligence organizations, literally just around the corner from her offices. And that, and the evidence presented on our screens, George, well, it was that a hill is shown, a piece of film, and then a little puff of smoke coming up from behind the hill. Then we're expected to believe, as viewers and listeners in the public, that that was him blowing himself up now in Iraq. So this whole series of him going to Guantanamo Bay, the Rodney Fidler, then getting £1 million compensation apparently from the British government, a great hoo-ha over that, it's all come from this site intelligence group. And nobody also seems to notice that even if site are telling the truth, which is extremely unlikely they are, the source of this information is ISIS. So what on earth are our journalists and our editors and our newspapers doing, basing a supposed solid news story, which is dominating the news for 2 days, on information from ISIS, without questioning it? Unbelievable, George, really. And I think we're entering a real sort of super fake news phase here. It's quite obvious to me that's why they brought this whole thing of fake news up, is because they know that they're going to be accused of this.
Right, exactly. Now, you also covered some USB information about the bank there in Switzerland and Birkenfeld and all that. You really cover a lot on your program.
It was a big show. Yeah, we're looking basically at the links between the way Switzerland has been being used over the centuries, really. I mean, actually, no, more decades.
Oh, yes, there's a history there. Yeah,
there's a load of history, because Ian Fleming, the author, went to Switzerland at the end of the Second World War wanting to know what was going to happen with all this Nazi money. And, well, the Swiss said to him, well, it's going to stay with the signatories. You know, you can't have it. And so he found out that the main signatory was this guy, Martin Bormann, who was Hitler's Gauleiter. Well, they call him kind of treasurer. And so the British went in and kidnapped Bormann right at the end of the Second World War with a troop of commandos led by Fleming and by a guy called John Ainsworth Davis. This is all written up in the book OpJB. But the amazing thing is OpJB, there's been loads of attempts to try and discredit it, spoil the books written by people, including Jerome Corsi, by the way, trying to say that Hitler survived. Bormann didn't survive. Hitler survived. You know, this is all spoilers. And the same exact thing is happening today with the Swiss, yeah, because the British did get the money, most of the money from the Second World War that the Nazis had, through Bormann's signatures. And it meant a lot of people down in South America then had access to it. A lot of the money was then also laundered through Sullivan and Cromwell's law firm. So the Brits and the Americans, the traitors really, really sold their souls at the end of the war to get their hands on some of this Nazi loot and give safe passage to war criminals like Bormann, who was tried in absentia. And, you know, so that today translates into secret funding for ISIS from the CIA, but mostly from Kuwait and countries like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, George. I mean, it's absolutely horrendous that the Swiss are allowed to get away with hiding these bank accounts. One of the things we found out was that you can't get a balance if you've got one of these Swiss accounts. You have to pay the guy to fly over to see you with an encrypted laptop. He will open up his laptop, put the code in so you can see what your balance is, then he'll close the laptop and fly back to Switzerland. That's how secretive they are.
Yeah, I interviewed Birkenfeld a few weeks ago on his book, Lucifer's Banker, and my final question to him was, okay, if you close down the Swiss secret accounts, don't they pop up somewhere else, anywhere like Singapore or Hong Kong or something? See what I mean? So they just moved them other places. That were,
well, what was his answer? Yeah, there are lots of places now to be these tax havens, aren't there?
Yeah, Tony, he agreed. So actually, he closed down a bunch in Switzerland and made a fortune. He made a fortune from IRS. Okay, they paid him over $100 million in fine. And
I loved it. He was saying that he used to get a bit nervous when he visited the United States.
But anyway, and you're covering. I have your homepage here, you know, online. Right now, looking at what you covered just this Friday, my gosh, Tony, you covered the waterfront.
We everything, and of course, there's more news today with these various fake news, at least, I don't know if you can call them that, the New York Times, CNN and the BBC, the Daily Mail, all banned from the press briefing at the White House. Now, this is almost like, hang on, last days of Rome time, because this is not acceptable in a democracy to be banning your news networks from covering what's going on with the government. Yeah, so I saw that the Associated Press and Time magazine actually, I think, wisely boycotted the briefing, saying, well, look, if you're going to stop any of these news organizations going in, you're going to stop all of us going in, or at least those two. And now I know a lot of people are fed up with a lot of these news organizations. They don't think they tell the truth, but they are there serving a role to ask difficult questions. And I pointed out on a Press TV interview I did that we had under the Obama regime the most awkward questions you could possibly imagine being pitched to the White House by Russia Today's Garner Chichikan almost daily in those press conferences. And yes, that is what they're for, awkward, difficult questions. And if the President Trump has the courage, he should be able to take these questions face on, and not to say sort of turn around like a big corporate boss would be able to do, and just say, well, I'm going to exclude you from the conference. You know, there's a lot of people in the United States, 320 million people this guy is representing, and some of those people will be watching those networks. So it's just, I don't think in any way acceptable to be on public money excluding any news organization that wants to cover what's going on in the country, that wants to cover the White House, to exclude them at all. Because journalists are under enough of attack as it is, without the, you know, people who are critical of the president, maybe even take the mickey out of him. I mean, Sean Spicer, for example, he keeps coming up with bits of fake news, and I imagine there'll be a lot of people watching Saturday Night Live to see in what way they're going to take the mickey out of these people. But they just have to accept that as a public figure, they're going to be lampooned, they're going to be satirized, and they just have to take it on the chin.
Well, you know, CNN, though, and some of these other people, you talk about fake news. They've been lying about things, Tony. They're actually publishing lies out here now about Trump and his administration at times. So there's two sides to this story, see?
I know. And you know what happens with news organizations that consistently publish lies? Is they get found out and people don't trust them anymore. So they will be shooting themselves in the foot, just as I think Donald Trump has shot himself in the foot by banning these news organizations from the conference.
Yeah, Stephen Cohen recently was on Coast to Coast the other night, and he's a Russian expert. He says coming out of the Times, the New York Times, are stories where they're making all of these allegations, and in the middle of the story they're saying that these have not been confirmed yet. So, I mean, it's gotten way, this whole thing is blowing up. You know.
Well, do you remember earlier in the month when we had Sean Spicer saying that an Iranian ship had attacked a U.S. Navy ship, and it turns out that actually it was nothing of the sort. It was the Houthi rebels firing at a Saudi ship. You know, so they really have got to get their hand, you know. They can't just make things up in these press conferences. They have to actually be based in reality. And it seems there's a bad relationship between the intelligence services, the FBI, etc., and the White House. And they need to get that sorted out so they're not just all at sea making stuff up. And, I mean, what it does show you, I think, in a wider view, is that you've got a permanent government in Washington and in the United States, which are the people that are never elected. This is the secret state, the deep state.
Exactly.
And that Trump is not getting on very well with the deep state. It's a good thing. You know, he should be upsetting the deep state. But as a result, he shouldn't be thrashing out at the press, because he needs to keep them on side in some way or another, even if they are lying. And if they are lying, they are basically destroying their own credibility.
Yeah, you
so
know,
let them do that. Just leave them to lie. Leave them to do their own self-destruction. And actually, he could do his own version of Saturday Night Live, couldn't he? Take the mickey out of them live in a press conference.
Right. You know, hey, Tony, you know one of the things that is happening there? That was not a normal press conference, by the way. That was a closed door. Yeah, that was a briefing. That wasn't the normal daily press conference. They didn't have one that day because of the conservative political action conference. But you know, they're opening it up to some alternative press in there now, and that's what they've never done before.
Well, they should. I mean, you know, all you basically need is some press credentials, and you can go in and cover anything here. I mean, here we are in the city of Bristol. In fact, they generally let anybody just walk off the street. Members of the public can come in too. But I mean, I would imagine for something to do with central government, you just need a press card. Basically, any kind of press will be allowed in there. Even bloggers can arrange to get a press card, so they can come in too.
Hey, you know what I found the other day, though, over in Cambridge, was that Conspiracy and Democracy, they're funding a big project over there, and they're trying to say that conspiratorial theorists are a threat to democracy.
Well, actually, I think there is a whole origin around this term conspiracy theory, as we know, dreamt up by the CIA, basically aimed at Mark Lane, who was finding out
the CIA were
behind the killing of Kennedy, and so they came up with this whole term to try and discredit him, effectively. But as we know, there's been a complete destruction in the West of proper investigative journalism. We even had to have George Al Jazeera come over here to do an investigation into the Israelis here in London at the Israeli embassy, who weren't even on the official diplomatic lists.
Right.
They were going around trying to take out British defence ministers and had a £1 million slush fund to try and undermine any kind of criticism of the Israelis within the Labour Party opposition. You know, these massive slush funds are totally illegal, what they're trying to do. And also, none of the British press did any kind of investigation. It took Doha, Qatar, to actually come into London and film these guys in restaurants plotting to overthrow people, British government ministers. And that's because there's no proper investigative journalism going on at all anymore. It's all been squashed. We're getting into a stage, I think, where it's going to be just corporate announcements, and the press is not questioning what government says. Even basic things, like I said earlier, with this guy, a puff of smoke behind a hill. You expect us to believe that's this guy blowing himself up as a suicide bomber? Well, there's no evidence at all, and yet this is the main item on the bulletins. So we're getting into quite a surreal world.
Oh yeah, we are, aren't we? Anyway,
it's actually really worrying. What it makes me think, George, is that, you know, there could be war brewing, because this is the sort of thing when you start to get such appalling coverage by the mainstream press. I'm not excusing the mainstream press at all. I think Donald Trump is right to have a go at them in every way he possibly can, but not to exclude them. I mean, that just seems, you know, childish, actually.
Right.
Because they don't want criticism. I mean, you know, that's what we need. We need good quality criticism, good quality journalism. That's the way we stay safe, and that's the way that the populations in the democracies, where we hope we live in a democracy anyway, that's how they make the decisions about what they're going to do with their lives, and we need to preserve that as much as possible.
Okay, well, Tony, thank you. We've got to get off the air, but thank you very much this evening for this interview. Appreciate it.
God bless, George. Lovely to speak to you. I'm off to New Zealand for a month or so maybe I'll speak to you from there when I'm over there. Who knows?
Do that. Get me a contact. We'll get there. Okay. Thank you.
Cheers, George.
Cheers. Bye-bye.